Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 267, part 1, Wash. Today is Friday, November 16th, 2012.
There must be some way out of here, said the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine, plowmen dig my earth. None of them along the line know what any of it is worth. The thief, he kindly spoke. There are many here among us who feel that life is but a joke. But you and I, we've been through that, and this is not our fate. So let us not talk falsely now, the hour is getting late. Kept the view while all the women came and went, barefoot servants too. Outside in the distance, a wild cat did growl. Two riders were approaching, the wind began to howl.
Tonight's message is entitled, Wash. I think this is a day in which we find people in much despair. Just from the phone calls that I get during the day and the almost futility coming over the phone through people's voices. And I kind of see like souls whose awful reflections, let's say, are hurrying them into deep depressions and almost despair. I mean, they reflect on themselves. And I think that's the worst possible thing a person can do, is when they are in a sort of a siege of despair and they're despondent, and of course that's when the devil gets them, and they start to reflect on themselves, see, and they get worse. And so I think right now a lot of people can relate to Job 9:30 and 31. It says, if I wash myself with snow water and make my hands never so clean, means they've never ever been that clean, yet shall thou plunge me in the ditch, and mine own clothes will abhor me. I really feel positive that I have been sent on a mission, on an errand, if you will, at this very dark time, and especially to this area. But can some of you see where Job is at here? He has battled a long time against a very dark temptation, and at last he's beaten. You ever had that feeling when you're totally washed out and beaten? He probably feels that he can't hold out any longer against this dark temptation. God, I'm just not going to make it another day. You feel that way? He feels like he's cornered. Probably he can hardly even breathe. His breathing is labored. His mind is starting to whirl. And he thinks, am I losing it? And as he then faces this present question, what next? Isn't that a question we ask? I've learned not to ask that question, what next? And I simply say, next. And tonight I know I will be ministering to many a private message, you listening on the radio into this tape. And I do believe this message, as well as many others I've ministered, will be a message from the King. And I may pray now that God may help me to give this message over. And I hope I then will touch those grievously troubled. Troubled by people. Troubled by women or men or children. Because, you know, we live in a very sick, troubled, perplexed, what next world. Jesus, it says in the Bible, left the 90 and 9 for one lost sheep. And now let me, if you'll allow, reach out to the oneers. Those who feel all alone. Maybe you're listening and you're in a nursing home. And you feel totally rejected. And maybe they treat you like you're 4 years old. Maybe you ran a bank. Maybe you were a mayor. Maybe you were someone in high position. They say, oh, no, no, Fred. Now, you be a good boy or you won't get no pie. Maybe you feel forsaken. Maybe you feel rejected and all alone, lost even. That lost feeling. And so tonight, let me quit the throng that I may find the one bewildered, hurt, wounded, thorn-ridden, cockle-bird sheep. And then bring him or her back to the fold. Here then are the words of Job, which I am sure are echoed by many single sheep gone astray. If I wash myself with snow water and make my hands never so clean, yet shalt thou plunge me in the ditch, and my clothes will abhor me. What does that mean? It means even my clothes will shrink with horror when they touch my body because of the wetness. With dread and disgust, and they'll even loathe me. I thought, oh, what a sense of misery. And this is only one statement, because there's several other verses that he pours out his miserable condition mentally and his suffering physical condition. And so, like a lot of us, he sought to relieve himself by expressing his anguish, letting it all hang out, so to speak. And so he starts talking to his clothes. Now I know people can't stand me. Now I bet even you, the clothes, you that are on my back, and these shoes, and this shirt, and this pants, it horror me. You shrink from horror. You dread. And you hang on me in disgust. You even loathe me. It's like being a lone prisoner in solitary. Maybe none of you have ever had any of that, but let's say in a damp cell with a pea-stained mattress. You getting the picture? Looking at the filthy then condition of the walls with every cussing, hateful word scribbled upon them, every hate, every jibe. But you know, his afflictions then are magnified and aggravated by his vain efforts to be rid of them. You try to get rid of your afflictions. Sometimes you aggravate the condition. because every positive word is overruled by his physical pain. His mental pain. His brain hurt. I mean, he was in so much pain, his brain hurt. I mean, he just got tired of thinking. He said, I can't think anymore. I can't. You ever hear anybody say that? I can't even think straight. That's what I'm hearing from the radio audience that calls in. And from the people that call in, from all over. His pain because he's rejected by his friends. Even his wife says, cuss God and die. And what a pain that is at first. Let me encourage you on the radio, and you that have called in, and you preachers. Relief will come. It'll come slowly. But let me tell you something. When it does come, and it does come complete. The deliverance is total, and the deliverance is complete. Some of the very hardest things you have to overcome is a separation from friends, maybe even family members. But there does come a time, mark it down, when that deliverance does come and it's so complete that you don't even believe it yourself and you start to think, you know what? Am I cold? Is there something wrong with me? And yet you have peace and you're filled to overflowing with a total peace and a rest that you never had before. And you had to wonder about yourself whilst you was going through it. You can actually say like Jesus, who is my brother and who is my mother and who is my father? Who are my brothers and sisters? But anyway, he feels like the grief he has been probably engraved upon his heart by a loud hammer and a chisel. He probably feels like it will never leave him. Did you ever get that feeling like, God, I'll never laugh again. I'll never smile again until I smile at you. Now, the guy that wrote that song, if you would have stayed away from that person for long enough, he would have found out that this person was not the cause of his smile. There's only one person, and that being Jesus Christ, that can bring a smile from the inside. And so strong and such a deliverance that you'll never be singing that song. I'll never smile again until I smile at you. Did you ever hear that song? Anybody in here ever hear that song? I'll never laugh again. Huh? Never heard it? Until I laugh with you. Well, that's an oldie, but it's a goodie. But anyway, it feels like, oh, this feeling will never leave me. I'll never smile again. I'll never laugh again until I laugh with you. He feels sort of hollow on the inside, like every word echoes in the chambers of my mind. And I'm sure many of us have had a taste of this ourselves. I said a taste, at least, ourselves. And so as a pastor and a mission preacher and a radio minister, I have heard many such confessions. And I have learned to understand Job. That the sufferer is hit by Satan and by his shallow fellow friends. The Bible says, and also the Almighty troubleth him. Now, I think with such a sufferer, we must be very, very careful to then distinguish between the causes of his sorrows and to separate his affliction itself and the further sorrows which he brought upon himself by his unwise, let's say, efforts to escape from them. No, let it come. Bible says, having done all, stand. Doesn't say, having done all, run. No. Now is the time to sit and wait upon the Lord. Patiently wait. You get patience by waiting. So you wait patiently upon the Lord, and deliverance will come. And not only will it come, but it will be mighty and it will be complete. And so I think such a ministry in the end times is going to be most needed. If you've gone through any segment of what I've just said there, it's for real good, because you'll be able to minister to others. But anyway, sometimes we have made it worse, our afflictions, by trying to escape from them. Maybe some situation you've been in, well, maybe you feel like running away. Run away. It'll do no good, because wherever you run to, you're going to run right into yourself. I'm talking about his self-attempts at freedom, struggling in the flesh, fighting back. I'm seeing some of that on TV now. Brother suing brother, and so on and so on. Attempts to look good. And so tonight, let's notice four things. Number one, a quickened soul becomes conscious of guilt. And all of a sudden, you're sitting by yourself and you become very conscious, very alive, very tingling, if you will, with guilt. And secondly, the soul that is quickened makes very ineffectual attempts to rid itself of the stain of guilt. You also learn another thing here. To not allow people to manipulate us into false guilt positions. You are very vulnerable to have someone come in. The accuser of the brethren works through people. And in your quickened soul, which is now very conscious of guilt, Satan will move in. I'm talking about redemptive guilt here, and God will free you of it. So don't get into these ineffectual self attempts of getting out of a snare, all but you become worse entangled. You become hoarse, like Peter in the boat. I said, learn that people try to manipulate us into a false sense of guilt, a deeper guilt. You're guilty and you should be guilty. Number three, to turn his people from self-righteousness. You know what God does? It pleases God to plunge people deeper into the mire. Deeper into the mud, those who attempt to cleanse themselves try to clean up their own act. You ever try to clean up your own act? Won't work, because people won't believe you anyway. I don't care if you're 99% pure and you even float. We'll find that 0.01%. The point of that. And God allows it because he wants you to be cleansed of all self-attempts at looking righteous. And so deeper and deeper and deeper you go down into the mire and the muck. You listening, every Mr. Clean addict, you're all going to be delivered cold turkey. No feathers, just a lot of goosebumps for everybody to see. Number four, we find that only by severe training that men come to look along to God for salvation. And over and over and over again, we find ourselves looking to ourselves for salvation. And it takes the power of God to totally free us of that. It takes, I said, God Almighty to teach us that salvation is of the Lord. And so now with men of God that have their problems and so on and so on and so on, then we're going to get into this. Let's get self-righteous. Let's attack, let's get more moral. But anyway, getting to number one here. Quickened souls are for sure conscious of guilt. They see it. All of a sudden, they see where they are guilty. And furthermore, they know it. And they also find, by the way, that they are without excuse for it. And that's because the Bible says all men are sinners. Nothing more, nothing less. They're sinners. And I gave that message tonight here at this church, at the wedding. He had some 35, I said, people here, and we gave the salvation message here. And it never ceases to amaze me that after people say the sinner's prayer, they'll come up and we're so used to ministering gospel that when the miracle happens, we kind of take things for granted. Oh, well, we said the sinner's prayer. Oh, that was so good. I'm so glad. Well, what happened to them? They got saved. All men, I said, are sinners, and to many it's fashionable. It's the way to go. And so just about everybody will admit they are sinners, but see, it's one thing to call yourself a sinner and quite another to feel it. Oh yes, I'm a sinner, I admit it. No, I mean to really feel it, and then the conviction of God comes on. And by the way, after that you're saved, you really begin to know full mass that you're a sinner. You just know you're a sinner enough to feel it just enough to ask God to give you repentance, which you don't have either. But after that, you go on in your walk, now you really know you're a sinner. It's shown to you over and over and over again. And so I said it's one thing to call yourself a sinner, and quite another to feel it. I mean, a whole lot of people will admit it, but just sit down with them and go through the Ten Commandments and they will answer no to most of the ten, if not all of them. But you know why they do that? Because you have irritated them. You have become too personal. And see, the whole gist of this is that people cannot be talked into anything they do not want to admit. It must be free will, and it's got to be a job of the Holy Ghost. No one's going to talk you in to the gates of heaven. I mean, you can talk yourself until you feel a conviction, until the Holy Spirit comes in, shows you, and makes you physically feel it. All feelings. Feelings like I never had before. Feelings, huh? No, only God's Spirit can reveal, and then only God's Spirit can change. You can talk until you're blue in the face. And people will just go out and do what they want to do anyway. Isn't that right? Did you ever tell yourself that you're never going to be mad again? Doesn't work. Did you ever agree with someone that you have a terrible temper? And that you're going to change it? You're going to really try. No, not until the Holy Spirit makes you feel that. And by the way, the Holy Spirit knows just when to touch you. Might be right in the middle of a mat or right in the middle of a mood. Oh, there's a lot of moody people out there. Now they see you, now they don't. Sometimes they won't. And only the Holy Spirit can show us and reveal to us the damaging effects of our moods. We need to let them have the mood. With great pleasure. That's what it's coming down to. Say amen, somebody. By the way, what right do we have to fall into a mood and get other people into a mood? Well, glory to God. I'm just old enough where I'm going to just laugh and go on my way to heaven. Say, you have your mood. I'm on my way to heaven. Say amen. I'm always running into that. Down here in the mission, people have their moods. One day they want to talk, next day they don't want to talk. Hi, Pastor Paul, and you'll go by their table, and the next day, not a word. Well, don't let that mood engulf you. People are sinners. And they're only going to change by the power of the Holy Ghost. Have you found that true in your own life? God knows I have. You don't know exactly when it happens, but all of a sudden. And suddenly the song says, you know. You don't know exactly how it happened, but you know you've changed. So we got to be patient with one another. But we can be patient in another part of the city sometimes. Because I think many have deceived themselves that this is the way by admitting they are sinners in general, but not in specifics. Now, you can get saved in general, but when we get into the specifics of being saved, after that we are saved, and we start to get down to, what do they call it, the nitty-gritty, and we all have to hit the nitty-gritty. And we start to get saved in the specifics, our anger and our moods and our frustrations and I hate yous and I love you and I hate you and I love you and I hate you and hot and cold and back and forth and like that. And we start to deal and allow the Holy Spirit to deal with the specifics. Boy, I tell you, and girl, I tell you, there is something that's so rich when you come into that. The work of salvation is so mighty. Goes on every day, saving you out of something. Don't be pointing a finger at somebody. Well, you know, look at this person. Do you mean to tell me, a person asked me, I got upset, and he says, well, is that Christian? I mean, you got mad. Is that a Christian? I said, well, I'm a mad Christian. Well, you better leave because I might be a real mad Christian if you keep hanging around. I haven't been delivered from that yet. Have you? Well, the Bible, in fact, says you can get angry, but don't go to sleep on it. And I believe no preacher should address his congregation if they were all like goody-goody two-shoe people. Well, of course, this is pleasing to the flesh. And it's flattering to the pride. But you know what? It's preaching lies. The Bible says it's devilish. I think all preachers should admit these things and get into them themselves and just, you know, have a revealing of themselves. No, not until men are quickened by the divine grace will they truly know they are sinners. But I think this is a very deceiving spirit that we're facing now, that would have men think they are saved when they still are unrenewed. People, don't allow yourself out there in the radio land, don't allow your heart to deceive you. Preachers, you start to preach Christ crucified, buried, risen in the blood, and stop worrying about your personality. And tell people you cannot be moral without Jesus Christ. There's no way to morality without the Lord. And then it's only by His power. It's only by His Spirit. But you know, many nowadays won't even bother themselves with the question of their soul. We're in an age of get gold. We're in an age of buy land, an age of inventions, an age of financial schemes, an age of, let's call it, checkers war, your move, my move, and checkers, an age of politics, an age of merchandising and science and ghoulish movies. And flesh and booze and pills and drugs and AIDS. And now a person now feels they're lucky if they got cancer. We don't dread AIDS so bad. An age of disco and Tootsie and all this kind of stuff. An age of suicides and an age of, sir, you're not of much use anymore. Do you want to delete? How would you like to die right now? I mean, you know, look how miserable you are, sir. You're sitting here, you're not having any fun. You're up here, you know, you got about $50,000 left. And now this thing is coming up. How many places are going to put people out of their misery so they can get their last $50,000? How many places are going to put people out of their misery so they can get their last $100,000? Money will play a very important part in the elderly being put under. And I think that'd be the damnedest thing to put in. Damnable. I mean, there's times even yourself when you say, I don't want to go on anymore. I'm so tired, I do not want to go on one more minute. The next day, oh, hi, world! Woohoo! Hi, son! Great, dude. Isn't it a wonderful day? Everything's coming up roses. Just the day before, you couldn't hardly even stand life. Are you hearing this message today, tonight? It's what they call running your mouth. All that noise outside. But anyway, world and worldlings in the church, you would do well to take a little time from this important list. Take a little time out. And look at your soul's outlook. Take 1 hour out. And think about nothing but your soul. It seems like we have a lot of natural ignorance about nowadays. Oh, a person told me, whatever do you mean? We're smarter now than we were 10 years ago or 100 years ago. I says, no, you just pay more for gas now. You just pay more for heat now. You just pay more for NSP now and your houses and your cars and your clothes and like that. But you see, you're just as depraved now as then. Only thing is, you're poorer. But you know, until the Holy Spirit takes our case on, we are in the darkest of natural ignorance. By nature, we're very ignorant. Well, what are you saying? That the world is naturally stupid? Yeah. Don't you believe the world is naturally stupid? Don't you believe that everybody without Jesus Christ, didn't you before that you started to, you came to the Lord, started falling, didn't you do stupid things? You still do stupid things, but didn't you do stupid things? And so I think preaching is very effective because it instructs the mind by the Scripture, arouses the consciousness and the conscience. And I believe it impresses the hearts of the folks. And I believe there's a lot of faithful preachers yet around. You've got to find yourself one, you out there in radio land. Find yourself one and stay there. Well, a person called me and says, why is human sinfulness so little understood and so seldom accepted as fact? Well, I think a lot of people are shocked and they think they didn't hear right when you plainly say, in this world there is no grace that can please God outside of becoming a new creation in Christ Jesus. You cannot satisfy. And so now we have Satan and he's recruiting for an all-out war. You're going to see things happen which will even more clearly show the depravity of men. Even trusted men. Because you know why this is happening? Because the Lord has ordained to save many, many souls quickly. There is a reason for everything. And it says in the end, and I know I've said this, I'll say it again, that in the end, God is going to raise up the low, base, perverted things of the world to confound the wise. And so they will drop deeper and deeper into the muck and the mire to see their sin. And God is allowing all this to happen. That's what's happening right now with this AIDS and with this TV shaming and all of this thing that's going on right now. You know, some 2 or 3 years ago I ministered, I said, well, now there was sort of a hush on this AIDS thing. I don't understand even fully what it is, but I know that there was a hush on it, and I believe it's because it would cause a panic. If the world would know, I don't know if you remember me saying that, but it was like 3 or 4 years ago. And that's exactly what they have done. Right now, I see where they're going to spend something like, I don't know how, billions of dollars on just seeking out a cure for this AIDS. And why is this all happening? So people will have to turn to the Lord. Well, I think people that are truly saved, though, know they are chiefest of sinners. Their discovery is due to the Holy Ghost, who convinces men of sin. If you're not convinced you're a sinner, and you have a self-righteous attitude, the Holy Spirit is going to convince you of it one way or another. You're going to know it. And I think a lot of these self-righteous dogs out there, God is going to just show them. And we all have a tinge of self-righteousness, but I'm talking about self-righteous. The Holy Spirit is going to show and convict and change and allow things to happen. Because all those who are meant to be saved will see themselves for sure. I venture to say there are a lot of people right now, really, when they're sitting at home on their Davenports, are really seeing themselves for the very first time. Maybe because they caused some brother to suffer or something like that with a self-righteous attitude. But see, when you get home, you know, you can get in front of that camera and you can get in front of that radio. But when you're home, you're in front of the Holy Ghost. When you're in bed, you got the Holy Spirit on you. And you got to live with that terrible thing. And you know, right now, there's a lot of people that need forgiveness. Because the Holy Spirit is on them so heavy, they become physically ill sometimes. But that's the only way they're ever going to be delivered. Isn't that a hard way to go? And yet, in some degree, all of us had to become alerted and become sick of self to be delivered. Well, I'm talking about diehards. Ten-year guaranteed batteries that won't give up, start up in any old kind of weather. Yeah, all those that are meant to be saved for sure are going to see themselves. Because yes, this world is getting worse. And who's allowing it? God is. And not only is God allowing it, He's loosing, seducing spirits from the pit. I think people will come to Jesus Christ that you never thought ever would come to Jesus Christ. Huh? Russian leaders. No, we cannot explain the moving of the Holy Spirit that says, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but thou canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. It's going to blow wherever it wants to. China. Right now it's blowing in Africa. It's going to blow in China, and China's doors are open. And it's going to blow in Russia and in India and in Israel. And it's going to blow whichever way it wants to blow, and there's no directing of the Holy Ghost. He is the director.
There you have it. That was episode 267, part 1, WASH. Be sure to join us on Sunday for the conclusion. Have a great weekend. God bless you.
You may be an ambassador to England or France. You may like to gamble. You might like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Maybe a rock and roll addict dancing on the stage. Money, drugs at your command. Women in a cage. You may be a businessman or some high degree thief. They may call you doctor or they may call you chief. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
It may be a state trooper. It may be a young Turk. Maybe the head of some bigger TV network. You may be rich or poor. You may be blind or lame. Maybe living in another country under another name. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Maybe you're a construction worker working on a home. Might be living in a mansion, you might live in a dome. You may own guns and you may even own tanks. You may be somebody's landlord, you may even own banks. But you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve
yes,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Spiritual pride. Maybe a city councilman taking bribes on the side. Maybe working in a barber shop, you may know how to cut hair. And maybe somebody's mistress, maybe somebody's heir. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Might like to wear cotton, might like to wear silk. Might like to drink whiskey, might like to drink milk. Might like to eat caviar, you might like to eat bread. Maybe sleeping on the floor, sleeping in a king-size bed, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, you may call me Terry, or you may call me Timmy. You may call me Bobby, or you may call me Zimmy. You may call me RJ. You may call me Ray, you may call me anything, no matter what you say, you're still gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, and it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.